Let's now turn our attention to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 4, just found on page 20 in the same book. This is also helpful teachings and summaries of what we believe that the Scriptures teach. And we are on the section of misery, seeing our need for Christ. And so Lord's Day 4 focuses on the justice of God and the mercy of God. And so let's respond to the questions on Lord's Day number 4. Does not God then do injustice to man by requiring of him in his law that which he cannot perform? No, for God so made man that he could perform it. But man, through the instigation of the devil, by willful disobedience, deprived himself and all his descendants of those divine gifts. Will God allow such disobedience and apostasy to go unpunished? Certainly not. But he is terribly displeased with our inborn as well as our actual sins in eternity. And he has declared, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." But is not God also merciful? God is indeed merciful. But he is likewise just, as justice therefore requires that sin which is committed against the most high majesty of God be punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment, both of body and soul. Lord's Day 3 ends with saying that we are incapable of keeping any of God's commands. That we are born in sin with the desire to turn away from God. Lord's Day 4 really anticipates the objection of fairness. If I'm born unable to keep any of God's commands, why does God require me to do them? Isn't that like expecting pigs to fly and birds to breathe underwater? Or like expecting us to jump over a mountain. The Bible teaches that God did not create man flawed. God did not rig the Garden of Eden. He created man with the full ability to obey him and to love him. God did give Adam the free will, meaning a will that it was not tainted by sin, to love and obey him. What the Bible also teaches is that God didn't create a smaller version of himself. He didn't create a little God, a little version of himself that had an unchanging nature. We are creatures that are unique out of all the creatures in the earth, different than the birds and the dogs and the cattle. But our uniqueness is that we are reflected to We are made to reflect the character of God. He has made us in his image. But we are creatures nonetheless and are still susceptible to change. Adam had the ability to choose righteousness and he had the ability to choose rebellion. And he willfully chose rebellion. God will not change who he is in order to accommodate us. He's not going to grade us on a curve. He's not going to change himself in any way, shape, or form. God is perfectly holy. He is perfectly righteous. And he created us to dwell with him in the Garden of Eden. He created us to dwell with him in his holiness, in his righteousness. But our problem goes much farther than whether or not we can or cannot obey God's will. Jesus says in John 3 that he did not come to condemn the world because the world already stands in condemnation. But Jesus says in John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." It's not just that we cannot be made right with God, but we will not be made right with God. The world Jesus came into was a world that loved its own darkness. A world that hates the light of Jesus Christ because we did not want our sins exposed. And what is God to do with the world that willfully disobeys Him, that openly and unashamedly rejects His authority and His law? What is a righteous judge to do when a guilty person is standing right in front of him? Well, you might say that depends. What was the crime? You know, did he steal a stick of gum or did he do something more serious? Well, the crime for every person who is a sinner in God's face, before God's face, is an entire life of unrelenting wickedness who has betrayed his Creator and is worthy of all praise and adoration. This is a blasphemer, an adulterer, a murderer, a lying thief, who has zero remorse for their sins. The crime is against an infinitely holy God, and therefore the punishment is to be eternal as well. The punishment must match the one whom we have offended. God will not punish good people who made a few mistakes. There will not be one person eternally condemned in hell that doesn't deserve to be there. The problem is that we trust the deceiving lies that our own hearts tell us, that our sin really isn't that bad. And God really isn't that good. God really isn't that great. If that is the verdict that falls upon all of mankind, that we are subject to judgment of eternal and everlasting punishment, the question that all we can ask is there any mercy in God? If we cannot change who we are, if we cannot change the verdict, then what can we do but ask for the Lord's mercy? Is He merciful? And the answer is a resounding yes. But God cannot wave a magic wand and pretend like your sins do not exist. God cannot allow evil to go unpunished. But neither can God punish someone who is good and who is perfect. That would also be unjust of God to do. He is merciful, but His mercy does not contradict His justice. They must both be intact, or else God is not God. Thankfully, God has made a way to remove our condemnation in a way that satisfies His mercy and in a way that satisfies His justice. And that's only through His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. The cross is where mercy and truth meet together. The cross is where righteousness and peace have kissed, as Psalm 85 says. And Lord willing, we'll continue how that is so. Amen.